Morning. Today's daf in Pesachim, daf Samech Vav. We're almost done with the fifth parak of Pesachim. We just have a couple of lines to finish up, so let's do so right now, and then we'll start the sixth parak, and I'll introduce the sixth parak. Take a look at the Gemara, at the tail end of the fifth parak. In other words, Samech Hamad Beis. And we're starting this morning from the words Ketzat Olam Mafshitin. Okay, the last Mishnah of the fifth parak gave a description, a beautiful description of how Karban Pesach was looking in the Beis HaMikdash, describing the three groups, describing the Tkiyah Shofar, describing Hallel, describing a number of aspects of the Havasa Karban, the bringing of the Karban on Erev Pesach. One of the things that was described was that they would do half shape. They would flay the animal. And the reason why they would flay the animal is because they have to get to the imurim, the insides of the animal, the fats of the animal, and the intestines of the animal, and the kidneys of the animal. They're all going up onto the mizbeach. So therefore, what the Mishnah described was how they had to flay the animal. So there were hooks in the base of Mikdash, and if the hooks were all taken, so there were little sticks in the base of Mikdash, thin sticks which you could use, or if that wasn't available, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you'd use your arms, and you put your arm on your friend's shoulder, and that would be used as a platform in which to hang the animal from in order so that we could flay the animal. Okay, various ways of flaying the animal. So Ketzat Olam Mafshitin, so we're just looking at the Gemara right now. Karav Ahotzio Simurav Nasam Bemegis Lehaktiram. So the So the Gemara is just simply bothered by a very simple technical question. What do you mean? You're not going to be doing the Haktara. You're not a Kohen. The Kohanim are going to be doing the Haktara. So the Gemara just simply amends the statement of the Mishnah so that it conforms to what we know is correct. So the Gemara says, correct. You're not going to do the Hektar. You're not going to be burning on the top of the Mizbeach, but you're going to prepare to so that it can be burnt. Meaning, you're going to place in the bowl so that it could be burnt on the Mizbeach. That's what the Mishnah means by that. Yatsa Kas Rishona, now the first group leaves. Tana Kol Echav Echa Nosnim Pitzcha Ba'oru Mavshil Achorav Amarav Ilish Tayus. So then the last thing mentioned in the fifth parak of Psachim is that there was a minhag, the minhag which is not described in our Mishnah, but described in a Braisa, is that you take your Karban Pesach and you put like in a sack. What sack would you use? You would use basically the hide of the animal. The hide of the animal now basically you can easily convert it into now a sack. You throw the whatever's remaining left of the Karban Pesach, which is really most of it, meaning it's only the innards of the animal which are going to be put up onto the Mizbeach. So you throw the rest of the animal into the sack and you throw it over your shoulder and you look like a taya, which we've seen that term a number of times throughout Shas. Basically, you look like an Arab merchant. If you look at the last Rashi says, Derech Sochrim Yishma'ilim Uzeh, you look like an Arab merchant, and that's the kind of look that we're going for. Now, it could be reminiscent of the Jewish people leaving Egypt, and so therefore it's more of a demonstrative way of showing how, just like they left Egypt, so we too are leaving, but it's still a little bit difficult to understand, meaning we're not leaving, we're in Eretz Yisrael, we have the base of Mikdash, but okay, in other words, more ways of demonstrating. Anyway, Adkan, that's the end of the fifth parak, Hadron Lach Tam Nishchat, and that takes us to the end of the fifth parak, and now we begin the sixth parak of Pesachim. Just the easy ways to help you remember where we're at. We're the sixth parak of Pesachim. Today's daf is Samach Vav 66. So really, today is the day of sixes. Now, what are we going to be discussing over here in the course of the sixth parak of Pesachim? A great Mishnah that we're going to start off with, and that is the idea that if Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, we're still going to do the Karban Pesach. We're still going to offer the Karban Pesach. Now, it's something that we know and we have known since the beginning of the Masechta, right? The fifth parak of Pesachim already. Well into the unit of Kachim. And we already know, we've seen already a number of times that if Shabbos, it comes out, if the 14th day of Nisan comes out on Shabbos, so there's an override. You're allowed to offer the Karban Pesach even though it's Shabbos. You can't roast the Karban Pesach. You have to wait until the evening to roast the Karban Pesach. But in terms of the Avodah can be performed even on Shabbos. Okay, good. But that's an assumption, meaning that the Mishnah has assumed that we know that. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to start the sixth parak of Pesachim, and we're going to basically ask, how do we know that? Where does that come from, that the 14th day falls on a Pesach? There's an override that I could do the Avodah. So, Eilu Dvarim BePesach Dochen Es HaShabbos. These activities are going to override the Shabbos. Shechitasa, the shechting of the Karban Pesach. Zrikas Damo, the sprinkling of the blood. The simple question, the basic question one can ask yourself is the following. Look, if we're talking about an override, that means that in general these are malachas, these are prohibited activities, and because of psukim, which we're going to get to later, and maybe a kavachomer, and maybe a gzereshava, whatever the mechanism is, but in other words, we know that there's an override. So what you would expect is that the activities that we're about to read now in the Mishnah are generally prohibited activities. So shechita, that's a prohibited activity. You're not allowed to shecht on Shabbos or on Yontif. Well, Yontif is different. Yontif, you are allowed to shecht. I take that back. But on Shabbos, you're not allowed to shecht. So that's generally a prohibited activity. But because it's Karban Pesach, so there's an override. So the Mishnah says this is something that you're allowed to do when the 14th day of Nisan falls out on Shabbos. The next thing mentioned in the Mishnah is Rikas Dam. That's interesting. So it seems to be somewhat out of place. Rikas Dam is the sprinkling of the blood. Sprinkling of the blood, so... correct, meaning as we know, regarding every carbon, the Zrikas Adam is the integral part of the carbon. That's a critical point of the carbon, where you collect the blood in the bowl, and then you walk the blood over to the Mizbech, and you sprinkle on the Mizbech. We just described that a couple days ago in the Mishnah. So it's integral. But what is interesting, though, is that the Mishnah doesn't really need to mention Zrikas Dam, because what malacha is Zrikas Dam, sprinkling of the blood, is that really a malacha? Where's the override? What's the prohibited activity? Hard to really say. Take a look at Tosfos, the first Tosfos of the Perek. So Zrikas Dam Otana Agashchita. So Tosfos suggests, well, you're right. In other words, sprinkling of the blood, that's not a real malacha, but it's coming along here for the ride. Meaning, as long as we discuss Shchita in the Mishnah, so then the Mishnah also mentions Zrikas Adam. Okay, so that's how Tosos approaches this. It's, you know, it's Agav Orche. It just simply, it's an attachment. But it doesn't, but you're right, there's no real override. Okay? Yeah, and then, right, yeah, excellent point. Meaning as long as we have attachment points, so then you can attach a whole bunch of points. You can mention the Kabbalah Saddam, and you can mention Olacha. And then, right, why Zrikas Dam being the only of the Avodas, other than Shechita being mentioned? Yeah, that's a good question, and I don't know. I don't know the answer. And then read on in Tosfos, just to point out, Tosfos notes that there are things not mentioned in the Mishnah, which we know you're allowed to do on this Erev Pesach. Notably, if you take a look at Tosfos, Hefshed Oro, right, the flaying of the animal. So flaying an animal, that's generally speaking a malacha, which we know you're allowed to do on Erev Pesach when it falls on Shabbos. So how come that's not mentioned in the Mishnah? So Tosfos wonders aloud why that's not mentioned in the Mishnah. You can see Tosfos for that discussion. In the meantime, however, we're back to the Mishnah. So, things you're allowed to do on Erev Pesach, when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos. You can shecht your carbon Pesach, you can sprinkle the blood. Umichui krevav. You can basically squeeze the intestines out. In other words, there's a lot of waste matter within the intestines. After we shecht the animal, we want to get it out. So therefore, you could squeeze it out. V'aktaros chalavav, and you could start burning the fats of the carbon. Aval. So those are the things that you're allowed to do. In other words, basically, the avoda. The avoda of the Karban Pesach you're allowed to do on Shabbos, when Shabbos falls down the 14th day of Nisan. Ava, however, tzliyaso, the roasting of the Karban Pesach, v'hadachas krevav, and the flushing out of the intestines, ein adochen sa Shabbos, that they don't override the Shabbos, that doesn't have to do with the avoda sa Karban. That has to do with the achila sa Karban, and the achila sa Karban, well, that we could take care of tonight, meaning tonight, Motzei Shabbos, Seder night. So that's when we'll do the roasting, and that's when we'll flush out the intestines. Okay. Har kavto, v'havaso michutz etchom, v'hachatichas yabalaso, ein dochen sa Shabbos. Okay, now, preliminary activities. For example, carrying the animal into Yerushalayim. In other words, the animal right now, it's a small goat. Right? Don't think in your mind, this really large animal, hard to imagine, you're going to put a large animal on your shoulders. It's a goat, it's a sheep, small. So you put it on your shoulders and you walk it into Yerushalayim. So the Mishnah says that you can't do. And havas michutz tchum, or let's say you're outside of tchum, and you just simply want to walk your animal from outside of tchum, that you're not allowed to do as well. Or chatichas yabalaso, or let's say there's some sort of wart on the animal, which right now represents a mum, it's a blemish. You're not allowed to offer a carbon when it's blemished. So, but it happens to be that this particular wart we can excise very easily. So just simply cut off the wart and offer it. The Mishnah says that you cannot do. Ein dochen sa Shabbos. These activities are not dochen sa Shabbos. Okay, now we already, I'm guessing, I bet, we already know the difference between the things that we just mentioned versus everything else that we mentioned previously in the Mishnah. Everything we mentioned previously in the Mishnah, Shechita, Zrikas Dam, Michui Krevav, Haktaras Chalavav, that have to do with the actual Avoda. Meaning when the Torah allows us to do Avoda on Erev Pesach, even when it falls on Shabbos, meaning that's the Avoda. That's the actual Avoda. These activities are all preparatory activities. Meaning, let's say I don't have the animal in Yerushalayim. I should have had it in Yerushalayim before Shabbos. I forgot to bring it in. Okay, so I simply put it right on top of my shoulders and I walk in. That's something I could have done before Shabbos. Or walking it from without side of Tchum. Something I could have done before Shabbos. Or cutting off a wart. Something I could have done before Shabbos. So already, intuitively, I think we all get that the basic difference between these things is that these are all preparatory activities. What we call in the world of halacha, machshirin. These are preparatory activities, and therefore, they could have done before Shabbos. Therefore, you cannot do it on Shabbos. Another thing to point out is that these things that we just mentioned, none of them are really Isuri D'oraisa. They're not biblical prohibitions. Let's take the first one. Putting an animal on shoulder and carrying an animal. So we know, we went through Masechet Shabbos together, we have the principle of Chai Nosei Es Atzmo, that when you're carrying a creature that could on its own walk, so that's not a malacha of carrying Minat Torah. That's only an Issa D'Rabbanan. So in other words, carrying the Karban Pesach in order to get it to Yerushalayim is not even an Issa D'Oraisa. It's only an Issa D'Rabbanan, and still you're not allowed to do it because it's a preparatory act. Second thing mentioned in the Mishnah, walking it from outside of Tchum. Tchum is also only in Issur D'Rabbanan. It's not an Issur D'Oraisa. So therefore, walking it from outside of Tchum is only violating an Issur D'Rabbanan, not an Issur D'Oraisa. And yet the Mishnah says he can't do that. Now, the cutting off of a wart, so if you remember, in the end of Erevin, so we had different distinctions, cutting it with your teeth, cutting it with a knife. So sometimes it may be an Issur D'Oraisa, sometimes it's only an Issur D'Rabbanan. Either way, the point is that these activities, because they're preparatory activities, so therefore they cannot override the Shabbos.
So if somebody's not able to do that, that means that they're going to miss the Korban Pesach?
Right. So, okay, that your argument is excellent, so stay tuned, because you're not going to be alone in that argument. So, Amar, so Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Dochen. So along comes Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer says, no, there's an override. Now, if Rabbi Eliezer sounds familiar over here, he should, because go back to the 19th parak of Shabbos, where we basically had the same machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer on the issue of Bris Milah. Meaning when the 8th day of the baby falls out on Shabbos, baby was born on Shabbos 8 days later now. So you have the 8th day falling out on Shabbos. So we know that the Bris Milah overrides the Shabbos. What if I don't have a knife? So can I go get a knife? Can I actually make a knife? So this is all falls under the category of Machshirin. And once again, 19th parak of Shabbos, so you have consistent viewpoints, where the Chachamim say no. Anything that you could have done before Shabbos, any preparatory act, does not override the Shabbos. Oh, you don't have a knife? You need to walk it from outside of Tchum? Terribly sorry. Well, the bris is going to be postponed until tomorrow. So that's the Shita of the Chachamim. And Rabbi Eliezer says no. That just like the Mila itself is overriding the Shabbos, Machshirei Mila is also going to override the Shabbos. So that's the respective positions in the 19th parak of Shabbos. We don't accept Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer in this position, Machshirin is not going to override. So over here also, everyone's taking their respective positions, where the Chachamim say, and we'll see in just a moment, the Chachamim is really Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that any preparatory activity is not going to override the Shabbos, so I can't carry my Karban Pesach, I can't walk it from outside of Tchum, I can't cut off a ward that's on the animal, none of these activities are going to override the Shabbos, and Rabbi Eliezer says, sure they are. Now what this Mishnah allows us to do is gain us an insight into the mechanics, what's behind the machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. And here we go now, the remaining part of this Mishnah. It's going to get a little bit complicated, it's not too bad, but the remaining part of this Mishnah is basically going to be the back and forth between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. So let's see the Mishnah inside. Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Havahalo dinhu. So Rabbi Eliezer says, really, I think this is so obvious. Meaning my position can be argued so logically that it should be okay. Because umayim shechita shehimishemalacha doches haShabbos. Because look, you're allowed to shech the Karban Pesach. Shechita is an issur d'oraisa. You're not allowed to shech on Shabbos. And meanwhile, we're allowing it. We're allowing it because it's the Karban Pesach. So if we can override issur d'oraisa, on a Shabbos, these things mentioned, and what I'm talking about, carrying the animal, bringing it from outside the tchum, or excising a wart, these are all Isuri Darabanan. They're not even Isuri Daraisa. Lo Yidchus a Shabbos, so they shouldn't override the Shabbos? Okay, so that's the starting point of the argument. Okay, already you know, in other words, that we already can respond to this first point of Rabbi Eliezer, but again, let's see the Mishnah inside, and we'll see the give and the take, the dialogue in the Mishnah. So, Amalei Rabbi Yoshua, Yom Tov Yochiach. So, Rabbi Yoshua tries to argue with Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yoshua says, look, let's take a regular Yontov. In other words, not a Erev Pesach, not. In other words, just a simple regular Yontov. Sheitirva Mishal Malacha, where look, we know on Yontov, you're allowed to do Malacha. You're allowed to cook on Yontov, which means that you're allowed to shecht, you're allowed to make a fire, okay, not start a fire, but you're allowed to transfer fire. In other words, there are activities on Yontov that you're allowed to do, which normally would be Isur Daraisa, but permitted on Yontov because we're allowed to cook. However, also Bo Mishum Shvus. On the other hand, on that very same Yontov, I can't violate Isur Darabanan. So in other words, just because I'm allowed to violate Isuri D'Oraisa doesn't mean that I have license to violate Isuri D'Rabbanan. So Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer, Maze Yoshua, Ma Raya Rishus LeMitzvah. So Rabbi Eliezer says to Rabbi Yoshua, what a terrible comparison. I don't understand where you're coming from. Meaning, you're talking about a general Yontov, and you're talking about activities which are permitted versus activities which are prohibited. And even though the prohibited activities are Isur D'Rabbanan, but over there, that's Yontov, you're talking about optional activities. I'm talking about Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach is a mitzvah. So once there is license to override Isur D'Oraisa to bring the Karban Pesach, don't you think there's going to be license to override Isur D'Rabbanan to bring the Karban Pesach? Meaning it's all one goal over here, and that goal is a mitzvah. So it's a no-brainer. So Heshiv Rabbi Akiva said that. So now Rabbi Yoshua seems to have been dismissed. So now Rabbi Akiva comes to take the side of Rabbi Yoshua, and really everybody. In other words, it doesn't seem like Rabbi Eliezer has a colleague on this issue. So Heshiv Rabbi Akiva v'amar hazat tochiach shehi mishum mitzvah v'hi mishum shvus v'ena dochus haShabbos. So Rabbi Akiva says, let me give you a really simple example. We know that if you're Tamei Meis, so in order to become Tahor, so you have to go through the process of sprinkling of the Paraduma, where you take the ashes and the Mayim Chaim and you put in a Kli and you mix it together and you sprinkle the person with the with this water mixed together with the Paraduma, the ashes of the Paraduma, and you're sprinkled on day 3 and day 7 from the time that you became Tamei, and then on day 7 with the sprinkling, you're going to become Tahor. And your tumah will be lifted. Good. So now, can I sprinkle on Shabbos? The answer is no. In other words, there's no heter, there's no license to be sprinkled on Shabbos. Now that's an Isur D'Oraisa to sprinkle somebody with the Paraduma on Shabbos? No. It's not an Isur D'Oraisa. It's only an Isur D'Rabbanan. If you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi on the Mishnah says that it is Mishum Right, here we go. The last Rashi. Second to last Rashi on the Amud. V'tam emes shechal shvi shol olios b'shabbos v'er pesach shim lo yazeh lo yapesach v'fil hachi nadochet ha'chi shamin lo Rabbi Akiva de lo dachi v'azah shvusu. Rashi says that sprinkling is an Isur D'Rabbanan. D'may malacha hi ela mischaze k'metakin gavra. Looks like you're fixing a person. In other words, fixing a person, meaning the person was tamei, now with the sprinkling he's tahor. So it's nira. It looks like you're fixing a person. So therefore, it's a fault. We'll put it under the category of Isur D'Rabbanan. So Rabbi Akiva's argument to Rabbi Eliezer is, okay, hazah, sprinkling, which is only an Isur D'Rabbanan, and meanwhile, eino doches haShabbos. It doesn't override the Shabbos. And not just any Shabbos, but let's give this case a little more drama to it. Meaning this happens to be not just any Shabbos, but let's say the Shabbos falls out in Erev Pesach. And furthermore, let's make it even more dramatic. This person right now is on the seventh day of his Tumas Meis, which means that if all he got was a sprinkling today, so that means that tonight he can eat Karban Pesach. No, not for Tumas Meis. Mitzora and Azov. But not Tumas Meis. So therefore tonight he can eat, he'd be able to eat Karban Pesach. So in other words, so I can make a very strong case that this person should be sprinkled, and the only impediment is that sprinkling in general is an issur derabanan. So Rabbi Akiva says, so here, how better can I describe this to you? Where we have an issur derabanan, if we violate the issur derabanan, this person can now become Pesach, and you can't sprinkle him. So Rabbi Akiva now is making the argument that just because something's an issur derabanan doesn't mean that it will override the Shabbos. Afatal titmalelu shafa pishei mishum mitzvah vehein mishum shvus lo yitros haShabbos. Rabbi Akiva says, good. So now go back to all your examples: carrying the Karm Pesach from outside Yerushalayim, or bringing an animal from outside of Tchum, or cutting off the wart. So those are all issur derabanan. But so what? You can't do it. Period. Just like I can't sprinkle a person, that's an issur derabanan. So Amala Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says in response to Rabbi Akiva, Vaalei Anidan. So Rabbi Eliezer says back to Rabbi Akiva, that's so interesting. You know, not only do I not agree with your argument, I'm going to take your argument, I'm going to really basically turn it right on its head. Meaning, I think you could sprinkle. Well, your whole argument to me is, well, you see, you can't sprinkle on the seventh day when it falls on Shabbos. So Rabbi Eliezer says, what do you mean? I think you can actually sprinkle. Meaning, exactly my point. Sprinkling is only an issur derabanan. If I bypass this issur derabanan, this person now is going to be eating Karban Pesach. I think you could sprinkle. I don't think it's much of a discussion. So if you can shecht an animal, which is an issur d'araisa, and that's going to override the Shabbos, so sprinkling, which is only an issur d'rabanan, you don't think that's going to override the Shabbos? Okay. So
the argument about earlier we had about the idea that somebody who's like Kodam can bring a korban after korban tamid. And that exception is made to accommodate the guy so he could bring his Pesach offering.
Right. So, first of all, that may be a good point, but we don't know if that was on Shabbos. I mean, what if that were a Shabbos? Would he be allowed to do so?
But it just goes against the principle of the right of the Rabbana.
Yeah, I'm just simply saying that we don't know if that was also, if Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos. Generally speaking, you're right. I'll discuss with you after. But in other words, it may not fit into this discussion. Amalo Rebbe Akiva. We're now on the very top of Samech Vav and Amad Aleph. Amalo Rebbe Akiva, O Chalof. So Rebbe Akiva says, now look. Okay, so now, right now, at this point in the discussion, the dialogue, in the debate, Rebbe Eliezer right now is taking a very, I'd say, hardline position, although may not be the best way to describe it, but a very, just a very definitive position that anything that allows me to offer the Karban Pesach is permitted. And if I can violate, we know, the starting point of his argument is, we know that you can violate Isuri Daraisa, so for sure you can violate Isuri Darabanan. And even though they may not be acts, that, even though they're acts that could have been done before Shabbos, but still, my violation of Isuri Daraisa certainly allows me to argue that I can violate Isuri Darabanan. This has been Rabbi Eliezer's mantra basically from the beginning of the whole discussion. Rabbi Akiva tried to throw in sprinkling of the Paradumo, to which Rabbi Eliezer says, I don't understand. Based on my argument, I think it's okay. So Rabbi Eliezer says, I don't even know where to go from here. So Amalo Rabbi Akiva. So now, back to Rabbi Akiva. We're now on the very top of Samech Vav Amud Aleph. O Chalof. So Rabbi Akiva says, you know, why don't we take the entire argument and basically turn it on its head and do the following. Ma im hazah shehi mishum shvus eino doches haShabbos. Well, you know, sprinkling is only nisa derabanan, and meanwhile it doesn't override the Shabbos. Shchita shehi mishum malacha eino din shelo titches haShabbos. So you know what? Maybe shchita is not allowed. In other words, here's my starting point. I can't sprinkle the paraduma on a tummy mace when it falls down on the Shabbos, and that's only nisa derabanan. So if I can't do that, I can't shecht as well. Now, you realize at this point in the argument, Rabbi Akiva himself is painting himself into a corner. And not only that, but the conclusion is erroneous. And I think we all know that Rabbi Akiva knew this as well. Meaning, Rabbi Akiva knew that his conclusion was erroneous. And part of the argument is going to basically be, he's going to set up Rabbi Eliezer. So right now, Rabbi Akiva is trying to argue, well, maybe he can't shecht. All right, so he can't shecht. In other words, I know it's the 14th day of Nisan. I know the Torah commands us to bring the Karban Pesach, but not today. I can't sprinkle. That's only Nisa Derabanan. So you know what? If I can't sprinkle, I can't even shecht. Okay. And I guess what it will do, and next year we'll bring the Karban Pesach. Or a month, or maybe a month from now we'll bring the carbon Pesach, but not today. This is Rabbi Akiva's argument. So, I'm sorry, Sheino Dochas HaShabbos, Shechita Shima Shemalach, Eino Din Shalotitches HaShabbos, Amalo Rabbi Eliezer, Akiva, Akarta Mashikaza B'Torah. So Rabbi Eliezer says to Rabbi Akiva, that can't possibly be, because uprooted that which was written in the Torah, B'Mawado. The Torah, when describing the Karban Pesach, says you have to bring it at the appointed time. Meaning, Karban Pesach is associated to the calendar. And because now it has a calendrical date, and the date is the 14th day of Nisan, irrespective of when that day falls out, you have to shach the Karban Pesach. So once we have this principle of Mo'ado, it has an appointed time, so obviously you bring the Karban Pesach on the 14th day of Nisan. Your conclusion is a ridiculous conclusion. Bein b'chol bein b'shamas. So Amr lo, so now this is a gotcha moment, this is now where Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Eliezer, perfect, this is exactly what I wanted to point out. Rabbi, haveli moed le'elu kemoed l'shchita. Good. So in other words, yes, there's an appointed time. But an appointed time to do what? To shech the Karban Pesach. Meaning to do activities with the Karban Pesach that facilitate its bringing. But in other words, not preparatory acts, actual actions that bring it, that allow me to bring it as a Karban. And therefore, any activity that allows me to bring it as a Karban, like Shechita, like Zrikas Dam, like all the things mentioned in the beginning of the Mishnah, that overrides the Shabbos. Any of the preparatory acts, so that's not permitted, even if the only thing that I'm violating to do those preparatory acts is only Nisa Durabanan. Klal Amar Rabbi Akiva, and here's the basic rule that Rabbi Akiva teaches, Kol Malach HaShef Shal Asos Amerev Shabbos, Eino Dochas HaShabbos. Shechita Shiyef Shal Asos Amerev Shabbos, Dochas HaShabbos. So anything that could have been done before Shabbos needs to have been done before Shabbos. And if not, can't override the Shabbos. Anything that could not have been done before Shabbos, therefore you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. So Shechita, obviously, cannot be done before Shabbos. Before Shabbos, it's called the 13th day of Nisan. There's no mitzvah of bringing the Karban Pesach then. I can't shecht it then. And by the way, what if I did shecht on the 13th? The next day it would be it would be disqualified. It would be disqualified Karban. So my only option now is to shecht it on the 14th day of Nisan. In other words, I simply have no choice. It cannot have been done. As opposed to the carrying of the animal, the walking from outside of Tchum, the cutting off of the wood. Those are all things that could have been done before Shabbos. And because you didn't, you do not have license to do it on Shabbos itself. Ad Kan, so basically, if I could put this Mishnah in one very simple sentence, I mean to simplify the basic point, the basic machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva regarding machshire mitzvah. Rabbi Eliezer allows machshire mitzvah to be done on Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva does not allow machshire mitzvah to be done on Shabbos. Again, we saw this in the 19th parak of Shabbos regarding the mitzvah of Milah, and now in the 6th parak of Pesach, we see this again in terms of what I can do regarding the Karban Pesach when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. And not only that, by the way, I also noticed this. I didn't say it, but I noticed it also that when Rabbi Eliezer talks to Rabbi Akiva, so he just says Akiva.
He's a student. No, Rabbi Akiva is a student.
It certainly sounds that way.
Rabbi Akiva is Rabbi Yehoshua's student. So Rabbi Yehoshua was
right. Correct. So, but I did notice that also. In other words, right, when addressing Rabbi Eliezer, says Rabbi, and when he addresses Akiva, he just simply says Akiva. So okay, but Rabbi Akiva is not taking a position, it's not a novelty from his standpoint. Meaning this is a position that's widely held and widely accepted. Rabbi Yehoshua obviously took it. And I'm guessing that the majority of Tanaim at the time took that position. All Rabbi Akiva was doing was just arguing the position. Rabbi Eliezer was the one that was placed in Chayrim. Yeah, he was a Shamuti. The Gemara Bava Metzia is the source for that.
Was it the one that was most praised by Rabbi Yochanan?
I mean, it could very well be.
That was everything.
Yeah, I believe you're right. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, and now we get our hands on a Tosefta. We're starting the Gemara on Samech Vav Amud Aleph, and this Tosefta, I feel like we all know. It's a popular Tosefta, if you will. I don't know how many popular Toseftas there are out there, but this one, I feel like everybody knows. Tanu Rabbanan, halachas unesama mi b'nei b'seira. This halacha was forgotten by B'nai Basera. B'nai Basera, a group of Chachamim, living at the time of Hillel. That's not my historical knowledge. It happens to be just a continuation of the story. Pam achas chal arba asar lios b'shabbos. So the 14th day fell out on a Shabbos. Shachachu v'lo yadu in Pesach toches haShabbos imlav. And it's really unbelievable. Almost unbelievable. But the Tosefta tells us that one happened 1 year. Erev Pesach fell on Shabbos. And now they're struggling to know what to us would seem to be the most basic of halachos. Can we bring the Karban Pesach this year? Right? As they were being Mekadosh to the Chodesh, like I can only imagine now the realization that, oh no, Shabbos this year falls out. 14th day of Nisan falls out on Shabbos. So what do we do? So Amru Klum Yesh Adam Shodeh in Pesach Tochas HaShabbos Imlav. And so now they're asking the question. So what do we do?
This is
during the time of Hillel. So yes, the answer is yes. We're in the middle of Bayit Sheni. So somewhere right in the middle of Tkufas Bayit Sheni. So they don't know. It's hard to imagine. Meaning they had hundreds of years of Bayit Rishon. And now at least a couple hundred years of Bayit Sheni. It's very hard to imagine. Okay, but this is the point they were in. So Imlav Amr Lahem Adam Echad Yesha Allah Mi Bavel. So they then acknowledge, yeah, there's a person, and that person happened to have come from Bavel. The Hillel HaBavli Shmo, and his name is Hillel. Yes, the same Hillel we know. Sheshime Shnei Gedolei Hador. Now Hillel spent a lot of time with the Gedolei Hador, who were at the time Shmaya Avtalion. Okay. So open up your Pirkei Avos and open up to the Zugos, right? The five pairs of Talmidei Chachamim, right? After Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik was Shayari Knesset HaGedola. He was the last of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. Anshei Knesset HaGedola ushered in the Second Temple period. After Shimon HaTzadik, so then you have the Zugos. Then you have the five pairs of Talmidei Chachamim who take us to Hillel and Shammai. Hillel and Shammai were number five of the Zugos. Number four was Shmaya V'Avtalion. Now, I think it was only just yesterday that we were talking about Shmaya V'Avtalion, because they were the ones who gave the sota, the Gior sota, the Mei sota to drink. But anyway, so Hillel HaZaken spent time with... he's not Hillel HaZaken, by the way. He's not Zaken yet. So here he's Hillel HaBavli. Hillel HaBavli spent time learning with Shmaya V'Avtalion. V'yodei, in Pesach Tochas HaShabbos Imlav. So the... and he knows. He'll know the answer. So Shach the Karulo. So they called to Hillel and they said, "Amr lo klamata yadeim pesach tochas haShabbos imlav." So do you know? You have anything for this? So Amr lahem v'chi pesach echad yesh lanu b'shana. What do you think? You think we only offer the Karban Pesach one time a year? Now it's funny. If I were there, I'd say, "Yeah, that's what I thought." But anyway, shedoches haShabbos v'alo harbe yoser mi masayim psachim yesh lanu b'shana. We have 200 Pesachs year round. Now he's not talking about the number of Karban Pesachs that are brought on Pesach that we already discussed yesterday. So that we had somewhere at 1.2 million. No, he was saying that over the course of the year, 200 Karban Pesachs are brought. Now, if you're confused, by the way, please, I assure you, I was also confused because, again, I also thought the Karban Pesach only came one time a year. What he means is it'll become clear in just a moment. What he means is there are 200 Karbanos that we bring a year round that are very much like the Karban Pesach in that there's a certain time they need to be brought, and when this time coincides with Shabbos, I still bring it. So let me give you the simplest example. Karban Tamid. Karban Tamid is the daily karban. So that means day in, day out, much like the Daf Yomi, day in, day out, you bring the Karban Tamid. So in other words, what if the day falls on Shabbos? Okay, so I think we all kind of know the answer. You bring the Karban Tamid. So already, and how many are there in one given day? There are two of them, right? Now, how many Shabbosim are there in a year? So I know 50, there are more than 50, but we could talk about a Jew... Right, we could talk about a lunar year. But anyway, okay, so let's say they're 50. So already, that's 100. That's 100 karbanos that we're going to bring on Shabbos. Then on top of that, you also have your musaf on Shabbos, which are two more animals. Okay, and then when Shabbos, then you have Shabbos Pesach, and then you have Shabbos Sukkot, where you have more animals that are brought. So when all is said and done, many Shabbosim over the course of the year, where we bring karbanos. Because it's the appointed time to bring it. So, Hillel's argument is Valo Harbe Yosem Masaim Psachem Yeshana Bishambas. I'm sorry, Bishana, Shadokhan as a Shabbos. So Amrullah Minayan Lach or Lacha. So but okay, good. But where does it come? Meaning, give me a source. Amalam Namar Mahda Bapesach Venamar Mahda Batamid. Okay, I'll give you a source. It says Moed regarding Karm Pesach. It says Moed regarding Karm Tamid. Ma Moado Amar Betamid Dochas HaShabbos. Av Moado Amar BePesach Dochas HaShabbos. So, okay, so argument number one, we have Gzeir Sheva. Let's call it Gzeir Sheva. And nobody else does. Well, I mean, the Gemara later on will basically say to that, yeah. I mean, it's not that they didn't have the Gzeir Sheva. It's that they weren't aware of the Gzeir Sheva, which he's going to give them Musar later on about. But, okay, that's number one. So, number one, he has a Gzeir Sheva. Okay, that's, which is part of Torah Sheba Peh. The Ode, and furthermore, now he's going to give another argument, Kavachomerhu. Now, let's argue logically. Uma Tamid Shein Enoshkaris Dochas HaShabbos. Now, the Karban Tamid, which is not Enoshkaris, meaning the failure to bring the Karban Tamid, does not result in any punishment. That's like any mitzvah saseh, or most mitzvah saseh. Positive commandments to have no punishment connected with them, generally. So therefore, if I don't bring the Karban Tamid, so obviously we missed on a mitzvah opportunity, but there's no punishment. However, Pesach Shenosh Kares, but one of the two exceptions where it's a positive commandment, and meanwhile there's a Kares punishment for failure to bring the Karban Pesach, so Eino Din Shadoch is a Shabbos, so again, if the Karban Tamid, which has no punishment, is overriding the Shabbos, Karban Pesach, which has a Kares punishment, for sure shall override the Shabbos. Okay, Miyad Hoshivu Berosh. So now, Rabbi Kiva, sorry, I'm going back to the Mishnah. Hillel comes in, answers a simple question of the B'nai B'Seira. Number one, am I allowed to offer the Karban Pesach when the 14th day falls on Shabbos? So Hillel says, yes. Hillel comes in with a Gzer Shava. Hillel comes in with a Kav HaChomer. He answers, absolutely, you're allowed to do so. So clearly now, he's a Bar Hachi. He's a, not just a Tam HaChacham, but knows a Halacha. Omenihu Nasi Alehem. So he appointed Hillel the Nasi. V'haya Darish Kol Yom Kula B'Hilchos HaPesach. And that whole day, he was darshaning. Okay, so in other words, good. So we now have the background story to how Hillel got his appointment as the Nasi, as the head of the Jewish people. And now, he switched hats, meaning he now turned from Nasi / Rosh Yeshiva, and now he turns into the Mashgiach. Right? For those of you who spent time in Yeshiva, you know, there basically are two positions. One's the Rosh Yeshiva, who's basically, you know, learning the Gemara, telling you what the Halacha is, and the other's the Mashgiach. The Mashgiach is telling you that you're not getting to davening on time. Okay, so the so now Hillel takes on the role of Mashgiach. Hischol mekantran bedvarim, and now he's giving muster. He's giving a talking to the Bnei Besera. Amalem migaron lehem she'ela mibava ve yanasi aleichem. Hillel says, "Look, I'm not even a local. I'm an out of towner. I come from Bavel, and now because of your not knowing the halacha, and because of your need of me." So he got an out-of-towner to come in, and now I become the head. And why? And he gives him very strong muster. Atzlo shahay sabachem. It's because you guys were lazy. Shelo shemashtem shnei gedole hador shmai v'avtayon. Because you didn't spend enough requisite time with shmai v'avtayon. They were the gedole hador. The only reason I know what I know is because I spent time with shmai v'avtayon. You didn't spend the requisite time with them, therefore you don't know. So amr lo rebi shachach v'lo hevi. Now, you're going to see a very deliberate segue between what just happened, which is Hillel gave the B'nai B'Seira a very serious muster, but not just serious muster. I mean, he called them out, he called them a name. And what is about to happen in the story. So Amru Lo, so they say to him, Rabbi Shachach V'lo Hevi Sakin Me'erev Shabbos Mao. Let's say the following. Let's say, in other words, we're going to bring Karban Pesach this year. This year, 14th day falls on a Shabbos, we're going to bring it this year. But let's say people forgot to bring their knives. What are we supposed to do? In other words, obviously, in order to shech the Karban Pesach, you need a knife. Now, I guess it's bring your own knife. I'm not really sure what the standard procedure was. I mean, they didn't have knives in the Beis HaMikdash. This part I don't fully understand, but fine. How do people get their own knives into the Beis HaMikdash? So, I'm a lamb, Allah, Chazu, Shemati, V'Shechachti. So Hillel now, who, right, right, Hillel now, who had all the answers, now doesn't have all the answers. So he says, look, I feel they're going to know the answer. The Jewish people know the answer. They might not be prophets, but their children are prophets. They're going to know the answer. So now, remember, there are basically two options. There only are two options in terms of what your Karban Pesach is going to be. It's either going to be a sheep or it's going to be a goat. Okay, it's two small animals. So those who decided that they're going to bring a sheep, so what do? They stuck the knife into the wool, tufts of wool on the sheep. And if it was a goat, so then they would just simply stick, and there's no wool on the goat, stick the knife between the two horns on the head of the goat. So when Hillel saw all this, so Hillel says, now I remember. And this is what I received from Shmai Ba'avtalion. So now, I mean, the story really speaks it out. Basically, he gave the Musar, which in general, I would imagine, is a good thing, but perhaps it was too strong Musar. The Gemara in Amud Beis is going to talk about why exactly it is. But you see, basically, he tripped on himself. Meaning, the Musar that he gave was, you didn't spend enough time with Shmai Ba'avtalion, that's why you don't know the answer. And then followed immediately by another question and answer, which he himself didn't know, but then remembered, oh yeah, right. Shmai Ba'avtalion talked about that very thing, and right, that's exactly what they said to do. Okay, Adkan. All right, and that takes us to the end of the Tosefta. Okay, from the Gemara, towards the top of the Amud, to where we just got right now, that is the entire citation of the Tosefta from beginning to end. And basically, you know how the Gemara is going to work from this point going forward. We analyze and dissect a number of points in this Tosefta. Here we go now. We're three lines down as the lines get wide. Amramar, Namar, Moada, Bepesach, Manamar, Moada, Betamid, Mamoada, Amar, Betamid, Dokas, Shabbos, Av, Moada, Amar, Bepesach, Dokas, Shabbos, Vetamid, Gufe, Minalan. Good. So Rabbi Akiva had, I did that again, Hillel had a Gzeir Shava. Good. Let's ask a really simple question. How do you know that a Tamid could be offered on Shabbos? Maybe a Tamid is offered 6 days a week, Sunday through Friday. Maybe the Tamid's not offered on Shabbos. In other words, the Gzeir Shava was assuming, of course the Tamid overrides the Shabbos, but now the Gemara is asking a really simple question. But how do you know that? So look, don't tell me it's because of Moado, because it says that by Pesach, and we didn't know it by Pesach, so that can't be it. Ella Moado la Mashmalay. Hachinami Moado la Mashmalay. Ella Makra Ola Shabbos Bishabato Alola Satamid. So the Gemara says, okay, but it's a Pasuk. In other words, we hear the Pasuk every Rosh Chodesh. It's in Parshas Pinchas. The Torah tells us regarding Shabbos, you bring a Musaf on Shabbos in addition to the Olas Tamid. Mechlal Olas Tamid Krava B'Shabbos. Okay, so that's how we know. Simple. Amar Mar. Ve'od kavachomer. Ma tamid she'eno neshkaris dochas haShabbos Pesach she'eno neshkaris she'eno din shedochas haShabbos. There were two points that were brought in by Hillel. One was Gzeir Shava, and the second was a kavachomer. So the Gemara says a kavachomer. One could really argue with it. Ika lemifrach. You could really break up the kavachomer. Malatam shekain tadir v'kalil. So I'm sorry. Right. Malatam shekain tadir v'kalil. First of all, I'm comparing the Karban Tamid to the Karban Pesach. I don't know if that's such a good comparison. Let's take a look at the Karban Tamid. It is, for lack of a better term, Tamid. It's tadir. You bring it every day. So one can imagine that if the Torah mandates that we bring it every day, and it's a continuum, so of course you're going to bring it on Shabbos. Furthermore, Karban Tamid, Kalil, it's totally burnt on the Mizbeach. Otherwise stated, it's an Ola. So I can hear that for something that's continuous, and something that's an Ola, that's going to override the Shabbos. Karban Pesach, one time a year. Karban Pesach, it's a Shlamim. Not all of it's going on the Mizbeach. So just because it's true by the Karban Tamid, I don't know if we can necessarily say it's true by the Karban Pesach. So, to put it simply, we can ask a pircha on the Kavachomer. So Kavachomer amalu bereisha u parchuha v'had amalu gzereshava. So the Gemara says, okay, so even though the Tosefta gives it to us that first Hillel said the gzereshava, then he said the Kavachomer, But now what we're going to the Gemara is going to argue is that no, it's just the opposite. First Hillel came up with the Kal V'chomer. They challenged the Kal V'chomer. They questioned the Kal V'chomer. And then he came with the Gzeir Shava. V'chi me'achad de gamar Gzeir Shava Kal V'chomer l'amali. Ela li didu kamar lo. Bishlam Gzeir Shava lo gamar yisu. Dein adam dan Gzeir Shava me'atma la Kal V'chomer. I'm sorry. Shava me'atma. So this is exactly how the dialogue went between Hillel and the Bnei Bisera. Hillel said to them, look, Kal V'chomer, anyone can come up with a Kal V'chomer, meaning you don't need a tradition for a Kal V'chomer. Gzeir Shavah, I understand, you didn't have a tradition, right? So, but at least a Kal V'chomer, you should have figured out, and to that they say, look, we didn't have the Gzeir Shava, and as far as your Kal V'chomer is concerned, we don't think it's a good Kal V'chomer. Okay. The next sequence of events is the question about how do we transport the knife to the Beis HaMikdash. So we're putting it into the wool of the sheep. We're putting it into the tying it between the horns of the goat. Gemara's question: V'haka avid avod bekachim. So right. It's a carbon. You're not allowed to have your carbonus work for you, right? Rashi quotes a pasuk. Take a look at the top Rashi. Over mishum lo sava bebechor. You're not allowed to work your bechor, and bechor is the lighter of the carbonus. Okay, Pesach also basically same category, but anyway. Point being, you're not allowed to work your karbanos. So how can you have them carrying a knife for you? So kehila detanya amar olav ahil miyamav lama aladim baolaso ela miviyichun lazaro makdisha v'somech yado alav v'shochto Pesach b'Shabbos. So answer, Hillel's proposal, which is basically always, don't be makdish the karban before you enter into Yerushalayim, into the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, leave it as a chol animal, as a mundane animal, and only after you walk into the Azara, now be makdish the animal. Good. Gemara says, yeah, really good. Yeah, but you can't do that on Shabbos. You can't be makdish an animal on Shabbos. Now, granted, by the way, that is an Issur Derabbanan, a rabbinic prohibition to be makdish an animal on Shabbos, basically transforming it from a chol to a kodesh, but still it's an Issur Derabbanan, you're not allowed to do that. So Hani Mila B'Chavashen Kavolam Zman, the Gemara says, yeah, that's true, but that's regarding karbanos that don't need to be brought today. But animals that need to be brought today, like the Karban Pesach on the 14th day of Nisan, so there you can be makdish the animal. The Amar of Yochanan makdish Adam is Pischo, Bishabbos, V'chagi Gaso, B'yom Tov. Good. So basically, we're going to follow Hillel's advice. We're not going to be makdish the animal. We're going to wait till we get the animal into the Azar, then we'll be makdish it. What about the Issur Derabbanan? Doesn't apply over here, answers the Gemara, because the Zman to bring it is today. The Halom Mechamer, the Gemara now wonders, aren't we violating the Issur of Mechamer? Which is that not only your animals are not allowed to work on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to cause your animals to work on Shabbos. This is a Issur in the Torah, as we discussed a number of times, and maybe even one grade above just regular Shvitzas Behemto. So in other words, if you're putting a knife in the animal, and you're basically either kicking the animal or directing the animal to move, that's an Issur of Mechamer. So the Gemara wants to know, are we not violating Mechamer by placing the knife into the wool of the animal and causing it to walk on Shabbos? Mechamer kalachayad. So the Gemara says, okay, but we're doing so in an unusual fashion. This is not normal to have animals transport knives. So therefore it's unusual and it's not an Issur Daraisa. So Mechamer kalachayad namin he di Issur Daraisa like Issur Darabana mi'aika. The Gemara is bothered by the fact that, okay, it's not Issur Daraisa, I get that. It's still rabbinically prohibited. So, that was exactly the question that they asked to Hillel. Meaning, the transporting of the knife to the Beis HaMikdash was a complex question. It was a question of, Minotaur, it's fine because this is an unusual way of transport. On the other hand, it's still an Issur Derabbanan. Can I violate an Issur Derabbanan doing it in the method of kila'achriya, doing something, doing it in an unusual manner, so that I could perform a mitzvah. This is, was exactly the question that was asked to Hillel. And that's where Hillel came up and said, I don't know, I don't remember. I remember Shmai Vavtai and talking about it, but I don't remember what the answer was. Okay. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. We'll talk tomorrow about arrogance and anger, and a lot of good discussions coming up in tomorrow's daf, in addition to a continuation of the discussion of our Mishnah. Okay, so again, we start the sixth parak of Pesachim. I told you today's daf is 66. We start the sixth parak of Pesachim. Good way to remember where we're holding. We talked about, over the course of today, what of the Karban Pesach can override the Shabbos. Very basic, fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva says that only the actual kravas HaKarban can be docha Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer says machshirin, or the preparatory activities as well. In the Mishnah, we saw a lot of dialogue between Rabbi Eliezer against the other Tanaim. He argued against Rabbi Yoshua. He argued against Rabbi Akiva. And then finally, we did the Gemara. The Gemara brought in the Tosefta, where again, we saw the same question being raised. And we saw the ascension of Hillel to the position of Nasi based on this episode. I kind of will stop over here.